2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. There are some phrases right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that are absolutely amazing. I mean, the Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but he makes some statements that you just don't hear every day, especially in the day and hour that we're living. No, he makes statements that you don't hear in 2021 from good Christian people. I mean, from the best of the best, the cream of the crop, people who I consider to be as good of a Christian as I know. I've never heard them come close to honestly saying some of the things that Paul penned down here and meant. And I say that just to say this. Think about the caliber of a man that can make some of these statements. And I'm not even talking about him being beaten and left for dead at Lystra and being caught 14 years ago and caught up into the third heaven. I mean, that's a statement and a half. That what a testimony to be able to say I was caught up into the third heaven and saw things and heard things that's unlawful for me to utter. I mean, I would want to tell that. If we had a testimony meeting, I would be raising my hand first and foremost and saying, I have something I'd like to share. I have something that I want to brag about. I have something that you ain't gonna believe. I have something that I have a testimony that I doubt very seriously anybody in here can come close to. But that is not what we see repeated over and over and over in this text. Paul, over and over and over, he's not glorying in the heights that he went. He's not glorying in the heavens that he attended. He's not glorying and gloating and boasting about the supernatural things that he witnessed, though he could have. Now, he was forbidden to go in detail and say it was unlawful for him to say exactly what he heard and to say exactly what he's seen, but it would have been lawful and it would have been okay for him to go into much greater detail than he did and to spend much more. I mean, you would think if 2 Corinthians chapter 12 was going to be devoted to this story, to this account, that the majority, if not all of chapter 12, would be devoted simply to that trip from earth to heaven and back. But it's not. Over and over and over, we see this man's humility. We see this man's holiness. And over, he's letting us know and reiterating the fact that he takes pleasure in infirmities, that he glories in infirmities, and that he has a very, very powerful message, and he's a man of God, and he's a true blue Christian. And I believe Paul knew that by injecting the fact and letting us all these hundreds of years later and thousands of years later know, and under the inspiration of God, God knew that it would catch our attention to know that somebody literally died, was at the point of death, beat at Lystra and left for dead, and was caught up into the third heaven. And that's an attention grabber. I mean, how many of you have seen these, for lack of better terms, jokers that are peddling and trying to make a dollar and sell a book or sell a movie or whatever, and they swear up and down that they've died and went to heaven and come back to tell about it? Surely you've seen them. And they want to tell you all about it. They want to tell you about all the sights they saw in heaven and all the people that they witnessed there and all the beautiful sounds that was there. Can I help you? If you've come close to entertaining that, and if you've even begun to reach for your wallet to purchase that, to see what they saw, or to read what they heard, please let me help you. Put your wallet back in your pocket. Put your pocketbook back up. And if you want to give something so bad, put it in the missions program or give an extra offering or help somebody. Amen. But don't pad the pocket of a bona fide liar. Amen. Because if the Apostle Paul could not and would not tell what he saw because he was forbidden, God ain't changed his mind and let nobody else. I didn't come to preach that this evening, but that's absolutely free. But you would be amazed. You would be amazed. I preached down in Georgia. I preached for over a decade to people, and you would think after 10 or 12 years of preaching the Bible, I mean, I didn't spend my time preaching, Brother Jackie, my opinion. I took the Word of God, verse upon verse, precept upon precept, week in, week out, for over a decade of my life, and thought it was sinking in, only to find out and be knocked off my rocker to find out people who had been sitting under my preaching for all those years are watching these hoodlums and nuts on TV like Joyce Myers and Joel Osteen and some of these people, and sending some of the elderly people, and they hurt and this and that and the other, and they send their Social Security check to try to because these hirelings and these false prophets are playing and preying on elderly people and other people. And it's wicked. Don't waste your time, attention, or money watching these people on TV. Because, number one, it's wasting time. Number two, they're out for your money. And number three, don't think you're above. You say, well, I know what I believe, and bless God, they ain't going to mess me up. Do you know that the devil is so cunning and crafty and sly that he knows that he can take a little bit of power and give it to a man and let them perform quote-unquote miracles, and it will suck the masses in? But if you don't believe the devil has power, he does. He absolutely has power. Read the Bible. You'll find accounts in the Bible where those demon-possessed people had power to do things. And I'll tell you this, some of you young people listening, you better stay off of YouTube and off TikTok and off all these other apps. That magic is a growing trend. Magic went out a long time ago and lost its popularity and this and that and the other. But magic is having a major comeback. It would blow your mind how many young people are glued to magic. And it looks clean, and it looks fun, and it looks, and it's entertaining, as all sin is to start with. It absolutely matters what you give your time and attention to. Don't think you are above getting sucked in to the devil and his devices and his lies. Because he will take something that you never dreamed you would do. How many, I don't know why I'm preaching on this right here, but how many of you ever dreamed? Be honest, how many of you can look back, and I'm not asking you to glory and gloat in sin, but how many of you ever done something that you would have bet your life you'd have never done? The jails are full with people who ended up in the heat of the moment doing something that they would have swore an hour before they'd have never done it. I know people who's in jail for murder who in any other circumstance, they would have never done that. They never set out to do that. They never dreamed they'd do that. But the devil is the most subtle beast of the field, and he will suck you in. Yes. Paul could have spent all of his time with the glow and with the show and talking about what he'd done and what he went through, and probably could have gained a great following just off that miracle alone. But he didn't spend his time there. He spent his time in the things that wasn't so glamorous and so glorious. You know what that tells me? And I'm just plain preaching this evening. Do you know ministry that's worth anything? Serving that's worth its salt is not all about the glory and the splendor and what catches the eyeballs and the attentions and gets the applause of men. Serving Christ and serving people is usually done in the trenches. It's usually done in lowliness and meekness. It's usually doing things that nobody else cares to do or cares to what you do. But that's service. Boy, that could preach right here at church. If we could just... What if our church was full of people who didn't need their name put in a bulletin? What if our church was full of people who said, well, boy, them pews needs, the back of them pews, they need cleaning. I mean, them books need straightening up, and them kids put trash here and trash there, and look at here. There's trash in the floor. And them glass doors Them kids has got their hands all over, and the adults, they've smudge prints all over the place. I'm saying, you ain't going to get your name in the bulletin for simply serving. And if that's what you're doing it for, you've missed it altogether anyway. But wouldn't it be a blessing if we had a church full of people who said, I think it would bless my heart if somebody was to call me and say, hey, preacher, I ain't got a key to get into church, but could you meet me up at church one day this week and let me come in and see if there's anything I could do to help out around the church? Hey, preacher, I don't know where Brother Duckett, Miss Duckett live, Miss Mary live, and I've noticed Miss Bonnie Carney hadn't been here in a long time, and Miss Patsy Quinn, who sat right there and was faithful as the day is long, and almost died, and everybody had about wrote her off, and now she can't go. But I don't know where she lives. Could you give me her address? And you ain't got to broadcast or put my name in the bulletin or tell anybody, but I'd like to go by and just pray with her and be an encouragement to her. I mentioned deacons a while ago. That's what deacons are supposed to do. And not just deacons. That's what Christians are supposed to do. You say, what's this got to do with that? It's called being a Christian. Being a Christian is way more than coming in, even if you're faithful. Being a Christian is way more than coming in Sunday morning, sitting in your pew, leaving, coming back Sunday night, sitting in your pew, being faithful, Sunday school when we're having it, and then being here back on Wednesday night. Most people do that and feel very good about themselves. I'm going to say this as nice as I know how to say it. I'm being sincere. That takes zero service. That equates to zero service. Who have you served except yourself? Most Christians are sponges. And we soak and soak and soak, and it's all about what can I get? Give me, preach to me, preacher. Preach to me. Sing to me, choir. Sing to me, special singers. Sing to me. Help me. What do you have to offer me? Now, we'll criticize some of these other churches. It's like, because we'll say, well, they offer this to that, and they got coffee machines in the back to offer their people, and they got this kind of ministry, and they offer this for the kids. And I can't tell me phone calls I get people saying, well, what does your church offer? And I want to say, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, it ain't about what the church has to offer. The question should be flipped on its head and say, what can I offer? I love you. Listen, I fail at this, but I'm saying in 2021, our church is going to stay the same. It's going to be our few and no more. We're not going to grow. We're not going to blow out the seams. We're not going to hit new plateaus if we keep this same stinking thinking and the same mentality to where, bless me if you can, I'll come, I'll be there when the doors are open, but that's all, and don't ask no more of me. If we want to be the church God wants us to be, it's going to require having the same mentality that Paul had. If anybody could have boasted, if anybody could have said, I've done my part, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I've starved, I've been left for dead time and time again, I've done this and that, I've been in the hierarchy. If anybody should be able to finally sit back and settle it, but that ain't what he did. And it's no wonder he started more churches than anybody I know. It's no wonder that there were more people led to Christ through his ministry than anybody I know. It's no wonder that God used him to pen most of the New Testament, because it wasn't about how people could serve him. It's about how he could serve others, which is a spitting image of exactly what Christ did. Who do we think we are? We have become so at ease in Zion. And I know if, Brother Cameron, if I was to ask you straight up, am I preaching to you? Is this hitting you right? Are you guilty? On a normal day, you'd probably say no. But I'm telling you, there's much room for improvement. JD, I love you, but there's so much more you can, should be doing. Not because I'm begging or anybody else is begging, but because there's a need. This is your church. This your Lord. This is your mission field. I'm speaking to these two young men, but I could get on every pew and preach the same thing, beginning with myself. And I just wonder, and I'm being honest, if you did your part, if you changed your mentality and said, I'm going to stop glorying in my accomplishments. I'm going to get my eyes off of me and mine. And I'm going to go out and try to win somebody to Jesus. If they cuss me, if they talk bad about me, if they slam the door in my face, if they don't want to hear me, if I go to 20 and get 20 no's, I'm willing to go to 21 for the one yes. That's how a church grows. If ever fishermen quit fishing because they threw out 20 times and didn't get a bite, what some of these pro fishermen, they go out and, buddy, I mean, as soon as they throw that thing out, they wind in fast as they can get it back in just so they can throw it again and over and over and over and over. And what makes them successful is they don't stop. They keep at it. In a nutshell, I'm simply saying we've got to get past the mentality that coming to church is good enough. And you'll never meet a person that believes any more than you do. Listen, I believe church is a necessity. I have to have it. I love church. I need church. But somewhere along the line, we allow the devil and our flesh to seep in and to mess up our thinking, and we begin believing that coming to church. How many people would love to see God save 100 people this year? Is that, I'm being honest, is that number too high that we should think, oh, that's foolish. Ain't no way God's going to save 100 people this year. We ain't seen God save 100 people in my lifetime in a year. Can he? Of course he can. Will he? Of course he will. He's not willing that any should perish. God didn't need us. God didn't need Paul. But Paul needed God. And Paul said, I know that going to the temple ain't enough. I went to the temple my whole life. I was faithful in going down there and tithing and going through the ceremonial and reading the law. I was faithful. But now that I'm saved, there's a world out there. And it ain't a job to me. Because if it was a job for him to go and find lost people and get them the gospel, he'd have quit after the first beating or two. He'd have found another job. He'd have found another occupation. But he had a calling on his life, and he knew what Jesus did for him on that Damascus road. Therefore, it was not a job. It was the privilege of a lifetime that God would allow him to be used in his kingdom and in his plan. We tout that mission board, and we tout how great. We've given over $1 million to missions. And I say praise God for that. I'm not knocking that. Tommy, I'm being sincere. The questions that we ask our missionaries before, while we weed them out, if they don't hit the criteria, I wonder if you would pass. I wonder if our church members would pass the criteria we hold missionaries to before we'll pick them up. Hello, Tokyo. Oh, we strict. We like high standards, and we should have them, but we should also live up to them. Not out of obligation, but out of opportunity that the God of heaven would let us work for Him and serve Him. That's why Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities. This is not easy preaching. I know this is hard preaching. It's harder living. But I promise you this, and I'm not even going to get to the rest of it. We're right now done. I promise you this. If we will grasp and get a hold of what drove Paul to be the Christian that he was, and realize we are so far removed, it's not about glory for us. It's about glory to Him. It's not about us winning anything. It's about us winning others to Christ. It's not about moving up a chain. It's not about moving up the career ladder. It's about being willing to go down as low as it takes that others may win Christ. My challenge in closing this week, I'm under so much conviction preaching this evening. God knows my heart. I have failed miserably, and I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed as a pastor of this church, but more than that, as a Christian, of how many people in Packlet I ride by weekly and think, I'm busy. They've done heard it. I'm not going to say who said this, but somebody said this week to me. I wish the Lord would just come on back now, because honestly, I can't think of anybody that I know that hadn't already heard the gospel one time. That sounds good, but oh, how hard. That's gnawing me. Because ain't you glad God let you hear it more than one time? Ain't you glad? Most of us was raised in church. Most of us heard the gospel over and over and over, but yet God sent somebody one more time, and let you hear the gospel one more time. Why would we give up on those? What? Yes, they're strung out. Yes. Jason is just today, and I'll be honest, Sandra, I've prayed for him hard, but I'll be honest with you. There's been days I would never say it out loud, but I've felt, what's the point? Because he's so far gone. He's heard. He knows. Do you know how many Jasons are all around us? And that's somebody's son. It's somebody's daughter. It's some of our cousins, nieces, nephews. And the reality is, we're the only people on planet Earth that's got a chance of getting them the hope of the gospel. And if we give up on them, and if we mark them off, and we get so hard and so calloused, and get so busy living life, that they just become another person that we can pass by and it not bring brokenness, and the burden's gone, and the tears are far removed, we are failing our mission field. And I believe with all my heart, I'm done. I believe with all my heart, at the judgment, our hands will be dripping with the blood of the souls of men. I ain't talking about people in Africa, people in China. I'm talking about people right here in Packlet. I'm talking about our relatives, our friends. It's worth telling them again, but it's going to take the power of God. We can't save nobody, Brother Ned. That's why we got to get close to God and have the power of God. Paul could glory in his infirmities, because he loved Christ. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, he counted not his own life dear. We count our life so dear, we don't have time for people. I'm just simply saying, why not make up our mind way more than some exercise program you're going to start this year to lose weight, or some diet we're going to go on. Why don't we vow to God, by the grace of God, I'm going to get closer to you than I've ever been. I'm going to die to me. With your help, Lord, I'm going to die to me more than I've ever died. And I'm going to try to make my desire, my deepest desire, be your desire. I'm going to empty me of me daily. Deny myself. Crucify myself. Take up my cross and follow Him. 100 people is nothing. If our church will simply do that, if we'll simply take that verse and daily deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, He will take us to the center. Jesus never had trouble finding sinners. and he still don't today. And if we'll follow him, emptied of self, full of him, 100 people ain't nothing. Wouldn't you love to see 100 people fill these pews that are called new converts, delivered from drugs, from alcohol, from broken lives? I'm tired of seeing people jump from one church to another, and we get this church. When they get mad down here, they come here. If they get mad here, they go there. You know what we need? We need sinners that's been saved by the grace of God, because that, my friend, is what brings life. That's what liberates a place. That's what sets a place on fire. That's how it gets noise abroad that Jesus is in the house.